is does not do what the director does. We're, in fact, why don't you describe it a little bit more, Steve? Because you've kind of, when I've gone to Steve and said, I don't think I'm doing a very good job, he'll comfort me and tell me that, you know, we really need to not be, feel like we're in charge or anything like that, so.
I don't have a copy of our bylaws with us, but they're spelled out.
They are spelled out in the bylaws. But I think it's just a summary. I think, you know, shepherding the board and just in general, mm-hmm. and being the person that sends out notices about meetings, upcoming, you know, when the next meeting is, or if there needs to be board communication, you know, facilitating that, being the one that takes the lead on that. I also think I think you just have done this by default, but I think it's a good practice. I don't know that we've ever set this down and said this should be how we do it, but I just recommend that the chair meet with the director, like at least once a month, mm. and it could be a phone meeting, or you could just drop by the school and you know, basically, I think just kind of get caught up on what's happening on the ground, and kind of think through the agenda for the upcoming meeting. I think would be the main thing. I think it's an important thing that the board chair just touch base with the director on a regular basis. Since we have monthly meetings still, maybe on a monthly basis.
And vice versa, I think, if I could speak on that for a second. Different boards that I've worked with, I've seen that none of them are the same. Mm-hmm. There's some where the secretary, I felt like, did everything. Called the meeting to order, did everything. And the board chair was just kind of there. But the board chair consistently, throughout boards that I've seen and worked with, are that point of contact, not only for him to the director, but for the director. If things come up, or if something happens, or you know, if the director feels like something needs to be communicated to the board, that was kind of always the point of contact for the director, is that board chair.
And that's always happened for the last 2 years.
Anytime there's any event mm-hmm. that is a little bit out of the ordinary, I send an email immediately, or a phone call at times mm-hmm. when it's an emergency. Mm-hmm. A phone call, this is what's happening, the police are here, and this is the reason, mm-hmm. and this is what I've done. If you want something different, let me know. Every time there's something out mm-hmm. of the ordinary.
Mm-hmm. And I kind of feel like my biggest responsibility has been to be at the meetings every week, to conduct the meetings, and to communicate with the principal. I have not found it to be a time-consuming job, although at times I've felt a little guilty, like I should be a PTA president, you know, like always here and doing stuff. And
you can be.
Every Monday at 9. Every Monday at 9 we have meetings.
I'd second, third, fourth, that motion.
I mean, to me, if you're the chair of something, that means you need to be spending a lot of time at it, and I really haven't done that. If, you know, it's been more just, you know, we meet together as a board, we make decisions, we communicate. Yeah.
I can tell you I'm the board chair for a nonprofit in Ogden. I meet with a director every 3 months, and that's all my responsibility. When I go to board meetings, I conduct the meetings, but I don't go to any of the meetings that they have. Employee or otherwise, even the Christmas one, I typically don't go.
Yeah. Now, when we do our training after this meeting, we're going to go take those quizzes. And
we've got the computers here.
Oh, good. So I learned a few things that, you know, as a board, we really need to be more in contact with the administration, with the faculty, with the parents. I don't feel like I've done that. I've gone to the programs and things, but as far as being, you know, really involved or participating. But that's something that we'll talk about when we go through those quizzes. Obviously, there's things we can do better. And we're planning kind of a board retreat at some point where we all learn our responsibilities a little bit better. And obviously, we want all board members to be highly involved, not just the board chair. So we want board members to feel like they have duties, responsibilities, that, you know, we're a group, not just one leader, and that leader does it all, you know.
And we usually do have board representation at almost all the events that we have, including mm-hmm. when we got the playground or the fall festival or Granger performances. One or two or three or four of you are there. on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm. Lunches that we've done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I try to come to some of those things. And, you know, I personally think Juan would be a great board chair. And I think if you feel like there's things you can't be to, mm-hmm. delegate.
Okay.
Delegate. That's why we're a board.
I do want to add that there was a little difference when I was doing it because we were building the school. Mm-hmm. I remember having to sign checks and meet with realtors, and we had, you know, things that we were setting, board members coming on, changing to who was being advisory board versus mm-hmm. governing board. I don't know how that will work when we start the expansion, but that will add maybe a dynamic for the board chair at that time. I don't know. There's some things related to building that is different than when you're in just a general school time frame. And will we be adding to the board? Because I imagine there's some Ogden mm-hmm. folks who want to come onto the board, and there are also persons that might want to take on board roles.
There are three people that have indicated they would join the board if asked. So,
So that might be a dynamic.
Do we need more board members? Or?
Well, we would want more board members because they'll know their community really well there. And right. they'll be connected to all the...
Well, not even from Ogden, but in general.
Three.
I don't foresee the board getting too large with members that don't have a vested interest in what we're...
When we have, like, board changes, like, do we just rotate through you guys that have already done it? Or do we recruit people, you know what I mean, as board director?
You mean as board officers?
Yeah.
We could.
Well, yeah, and obviously we're not all going to stay on the board forever, you know. Some of us move, some of us go on missions, some of us do other things, and, you know, and so we'll need to replace board members.
And it will be nice to have the other community members... Ogden community members, because we're going to act as one kind of unified campus, even though they'll mm-hmm. be in two different places. I mean, if we expand to four places, we'll still be one unified mm-hmm. kind of campus. So there isn't going to be a board for each campus.
Maybe, you know, I think another thing, I don't think we have succession plan, where oftentimes board members have terms like mm-hmm. 3 years, 4 years. And then they can re-up if they so choose, but that's also an opportune time to leave the board. I think probably 17, this year is going to be my last year. I'll probably leave the board after that. I don't think the board should be real big. I don't think it mm-hmm. needs to be real big. Seven?
Yeah, that's good.
When Ogden, when that happens, maybe there's a need to have 7 to 9 people. 9 people maybe, but maybe these are the kinds of things we could kind of fine-tune a little bit, look at our bylaws, and maybe, you know, I don't think we don't have a board orientation plan.
Right, so and we need to do that. When
we do need to get new board members on, I think we could put one together pretty quickly, but we don't have one in place or an idea of how we do that. So maybe in this retreat, those are the kinds of things that we could talk about in sort of detail a little bit more. But I think it'd be good to make sure we don't leave this meeting without having new officers.
Well, doesn't even a large district like Granite or Alpine, they really don't have too many members. They try and spread them out across their community, but...
Mm-hmm. Well, they're elected, too.
I only
thought
they only had 8 or 9
people.
Yeah,
they're small.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I could serve as board chair.
Okay, and how do you feel about staying as secretary?
I'm kind of feeling like I'm just getting up to
yeah.
what I'm supposed to know what to do. It's like that first year, and I had this huge responsibility that now is gone.
Yeah.
And so now I can really...
Cody was in school last year, and that took him away. So I'm hoping that you'll stay on. You come with your laptop, and you'll be here, you know, more regularly. So
we actually have had board members that have decided to work for the school. So Cody's... kind of like that. I mean, he may be one of our new principals in the future, so it could be that board members actually leave the board, but they move into other capacities to support what we're doing. I'll just put a plug in there.
One former board member, the parent, is now an employee. Rocio.
Yeah?
Uh-huh. Oh. Yeah. Oh, good.
She's working.
She's a teacher.
And Flavia, Flavia was on the board.
I was thinking you already said that.
Yeah.
Well, could I move that we sounds like we have people for these board positions. And so can I move that we do this for FY17 and maybe at the retreat we can fine tune this. But I do like the idea of the two years for the board chair for sure. But at least for now, if we could, I would move that we have the following four people in the officer position. Juan as chair, Marty as vice chair, Cody as secretary, and I'll continue as treasurer for FY17.
I second that motion. So it's been moved and seconded that that Juan be the new board chair, that Marty be the vice chair, that Cody be the continuous secretary, and Steve continue as treasurer. All in favor? Wait, was it seconded?
You seconded.
I did, didn't I? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Very good. Thank you, everyone. Thank you very much. If that's being recorded, that last part. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, very good. We will move on then to the Executive Director Principal Report.
Okay.
I can't see far, I can only see close. So I'm going to have to use my sunglasses, so I'll be really cool.
Yes, sour grapes, all smaller case. That was not my idea.
Okay.
Sour grapes.
Silly.
I know.
You could have got something easy like Agila or something.
That's it? That's it? That's the sour grapes?
Oh, I thought it was that whole phrase. Okay, great. Thank you.
Now, Cody, this happened again.
You're kidding. I wonder.
Oh, there it goes. It's coming. So I'll begin from the beginning.
Very good place to start.
Yeah.
Can you? Can
oh, maybe.
Yeah, you're good.
Are you sure? Can you see all?
Can you see?
Okay. This is the new faculty.
Yeah.
We had a photographer come in and take pictures.
Look how big.
We have 49 people on staff. This is all of them, 49. There are 43 on this picture. Some of them didn't want to be in the picture. We didn't force them. I found out that some people don't like pictures. But anyway, that's... Okay, here are the numbers, the student numbers. Does anybody remember how many we were supposed to have? How many do we need?
475.
475 we get money for, but we can have up to 10% more.
Oh, okay.
So it's 522 is the maximum we can have. We are at 522 as of today.
Oh.
But we will have about 12 students that have not shown up, and we're calling. Some of them have moved, and so we will drop about 12 more kids, but we will replace them. Because on October 1st, we want to be at 110%. Because those are the numbers that we're allowed to have. 10% more than the funded number.
With this new ADM process, does anyone know?
Yes.
And you.
Mm-hmm.
So this benefits us economically in the long run to make sure our enrollment is up there. Because in the old days, you might say, you know what? We only get paid for 475. That's all.
Right.
That's all we're going to do. But now the game's changed.
If you get below 475, then the amount of money we'll get goes down.
On a per student basis.
Per student basis, and it's pretty high. Mm-hmm. It's about $6,000 a year per student without the yeah. So it's significant. So we will never be below 475.
So our waiting list is strong enough that
we have 160 kids on the waiting list. 80 are kindergarten in first grade. I'm sorry. Kindergarten, first grade.
Kindergartners would leave their schools.
Yeah. Then they're not leaving. No.
No, I mean they would leave Granite or...
To come here? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And we have people that are checking with us, even for the upper grades, on a regular basis to see if there's any openings. And we haven't added any because we are where we need to be.
Where are our 12 students in grades?
They're all over the place.
Okay.
Yeah, and I personally have called all 12 of them, and some of them are definitely moved. They bought a house in Harriman, or they moved to southern Utah or whatever. They're not coming. And so we will probably lose 12 additional students, and we'll replace them. We will be at 522 throughout the entire year if we can. So those are the numbers. this is official now, 100% official.
Awesome.
English Language Arts, we went up from 10 to 15. That's 50% improvement. And math, 9 to 20%. That's 122% improvement. Science, as you can see, we went down by 1.4%. And we will definitely focus on that this year because we didn't even talk about science.
Any guesses why?
On what?
Science.
On the science, the kids, there's a very small number of children that get tested for science, 4th, 5th, and 6th, and that was the lowest numbers. And so if your kids don't do well, the numbers go down quite drastically. You need the kids to stay the same where they were before and then add kids rather than going down. And plus, we didn't address science at any time during the year. We didn't. When we did the UTIPs, it was mostly math and sometimes language arts. Now we have an instructional coach who has already done training, and they will focus on language arts and science. I will continue to do math as I did last year, so we will definitely improve. Science, there's a lot of movement. I don't know if we can double the numbers like we did this time, but we'll be up by 20% in each one of those. That's our goal, 20% up on language arts, which would give us 18% if we go up by 20%. And then math, if we go up by 20%, it'll be 24 percentage points.
So this instructional coach is going to be working with which teachers?
The instructional coach?
Yeah.
All 21.
All 21 teachers.
Correct. Okay. And they have already worked with 21. They did a training with SIAP. Friday, they're going to come in and observe all 21 classrooms to make sure that they have a language objective and a content objective. And then they're going to meet with each team after school to make sure that they understand what the expectation is.
And is it the same company that you'd planned
It
on
is
before?
The company. It is
Hoffmeister.
Hoffmeister, and there's like 5 people in that company. Yeah.
The statistician person at the state came into some of our schools, drilled down to specific students that were 1 or 2 questions away in the area we were weakest in, which was math. And now the instructional coaches are targeting those specific kids and their teachers, because if those kids answer 1 or 2 questions better, they'll move us up.
We have to be really careful with doing that, because some parents that moved actually said that we are focused too much on mathematics and language arts.
Well, this one was in science.
Right.
You could focus on.
Right. But what I'm saying is we will have to do it, but we have to be careful because parents are here because of the music and the culture and some of the other stuff. So that's exactly what we did in mathematics. We looked at every child and every standard where they were. And then we went into UTIPs and created some tests that the teachers were giving at the end of each week to make sure the kids were improving. And then the last 6 weeks before the test, we tutored those kids that were on the bubble, the twos. We brought them after school, and not teachers, because they get too tired by the end of the day, but we had the secretaries, Crystal. We had Julia. We had the librarian, who took the kids 5 at a time and worked with them individually. Mm-hmm. We did have a couple of teachers that, you know, feel like they have a lot of energy still. And one of them, Mrs. Shumway, had 7 kids in those bubble kids, 7 of them. Twos, every one of them went to 3, and 3 of them went to 4s.
Yeah, most of the schools are recognizing they can do some good time data ups with their bubble kids.
Yes, and that's exactly what we did. And we try to group them by which standard they were low on. And then we brought the teachers here and told them exactly what they needed to do and do the worksheets from UTIPs and work with each group of 5 kids, and it worked. It worked. And so we will continue to do that in math. Hoffmeister and company will do language arts and science, and we think that we'll... I think we can... 20% should be good, mm-hmm. which means this. I'm sorry.
Quick question before we go there. I don't know much about this company, but are they? Do you know if they will be working on how to transfer or interrelate subjects? For example, like in art, they can do science in art, mm-hmm. or in the reading aloud, it can be math, mm-hmm. or it can be. So that way, everything's interrelated, and what they do, music or other subjects, they're also touching on math. Science, especially language literacy.
So they specialize with a sheltered instruction observation protocol, but they do integrate specifically science and social studies in the reading area.
Okay, great.
And we're doing reading in Spanish with a new program that we purchased, Reading Street. So Reading Street has social studies and science within the program. Cool. So. Arts and all those kinds of things. We still have some other specialists that are coming in with the music and the choir and all those things. And we have a company working with the lower grades. Do you remember the name? Bad Dog or Big Dog Arts?
It's Bad Dog.
Yeah, they're coming and working this time with the lower grades, really cool. K-3, I believe.
They do art, right?
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Yeah. The University of Utah, they do something with them?
I'm not sure.
I think it came out through there, but now they're right. their own nonprofit.
It's a nonprofit. Yeah. They come in, they don't charge any, and they do a project with each class.
Okay.
They're the ones that did the masks last time. I don't know if you remember the masks that I brought to you.
Yeah, the PowerPoint.
Yes. And so I think we're covered in all the areas pretty good, from what I've seen that we're doing. So. This is just a little bit of more information comparing us to Granite. So this is Granite School District on the left. And two specific areas that I wanted to make sure that we looked at is the Hispanic scores for Granite. And language arts is 16.9, ours are 15.5. Very, very close to the being the same. Mathematics, they're 17.1, we're 20.8.
Mm-hmm.
And so... in science, they're a little bit ahead, 15 and 9. But look at the next group. This is the limited English proficient scores. Granite has 7.3. In language arts, we have 14.2. We're twice as high. In mathematics, they're 11.2. We're 14.2. And in science, they're 5.4. We're 7.0. So we're very, very close to them, including the state Hispanic scores. There are 23 all the way across in the state. And as you can see, we're pretty close in math now. We're catching up. We're almost 21. And so I believe that this next year coming up, we should be at state average with the Hispanic subgroup, English language proficient subgroup. We should be above average at the state level if we reach the goals, which, again, 20% on each of the subjects. So I think we're headed in the right direction. There is no question about that. We are improving. Red Apple called the person that works with development and asked about the scores because they are in contact with a group that came last year to help us purchase the building. And they wanted an update to see where we were. And I gave him the scores. He says, it's a done deal. I'll get back with you. So that's what they were waiting for. They're waiting for the scores to go public. But I told them these are the scores. They're now the final scores, and so we should be hearing from them very quickly.
That's fantastic.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, a couple of things. We do need to find a date and time for strategic planning. The three people that are coming from Ogden, I told them that that probably would be the first meeting that they would attend to talk about the expansion. Possibility. What's his name? Bissinger from Red Apple. Jeff. Jeff will help us write the expansion proposal. And so he's just waiting for us. And it'll be probably in May when it has to be written. It's due by the end of June to the state office. And he believes that if this course continued to climb even by 10% or 20% next year, that we should see no obstacles in expanding. Mm-hmm. And so we're just keeping our fingers crossed. Mm-hmm. Well, we did have three teachers leave us the day before contract day. And it caused some issues because I've been thinking about what can we do, and some of the things that I've been talking about will not affect the retention, because all three left for money. Every one of them was given, one was $15,000, $12,000, and $10,000 raises.
Esperanza is not the only school that's experiencing this.
Yeah, yeah. So.
And what kind of schools were they?
Our special ed went to a brand new school, Wallace
Stegner.
As a director of special education. He's the one that got the most.
Was it a one-time signing bonus or an increase in
Increase in yearly pay. Increase in pay. Mm-hmm. The other teacher that went to Park City.
What kind of school is the Stegner School?
It's a charter school, leadership school, college bound.
It seems to be a college prep.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's right over there near where DIA is.
DIA is right next, about a few blocks from DIA, four
the
or five
second
blocks.
One?
That Park City, he went to be the only bilingual teacher in the elementary school. They gave him $10,000 raise and $3,000 commuting bonus because he has to drive from
Park City Public School.
Public school, an elementary school.
What school district is that?
Park City School
Park
District.
The highest paid.
Okay.
They're the highest paid in the state.
Yeah.
And the other one left. To be
is that a city or county
school? That's a city,
okay.
City school, but it's Park City.
Okay.
It's a small. The third one is a therapist, a family therapist, and she it's $12,000, but she's getting a year raise to leave.
But she's getting out of education
she's
altogether.
She's leaving out of education altogether. So, those three, I just don't know that we could have kept them because I have some friends. One is a police department chief in Ogden, chief of the police, and he has problems keeping policemen
officers.
In Ogden.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've been talking, and all his ideas wouldn't work here because they left for money. Our teachers left for money. His teachers leave because of stress. His policemen,
officers.
His officers leave because of stress. And so his ideas, I'm not sure they're going to work. One of them was to wait to give the bonus until 2 weeks or a month into the next year, the bonuses that we give. That would be one idea. The other one was job security. So we would do a yearly, I forget what they call it. If they spend 5 years here, we would give them like $3,000 for each year that they spent if we terminated them. Does that make sense? That wouldn't work here. Again, they're leaving for the money that they're getting. I mean, every year, if you're getting $10,000, $15,000 a year, in 10 years, that's $150,000.
Mm-hmm.
We can't compete with those kinds of monies. So we will continue to find ways to keep them. And what I told them is, I need missionaries here. I don't need teachers. I need missionaries that are here to have the passion for the kids, because otherwise, money, there's money everywhere.
Some teachers offered, I don't know who they were, and they didn't take it, right?
And again, one was one of my students from Ogden High School. She was offered a job in Ogden, two blocks from her house. The travel was a problem. And the other one was one young man that we have here helping us with maintenance. And he was just too stressed. He said, I'm not sleeping. I can't do this. And so I'm not sure that that's gonna.
Weren't there some teachers offered more money at other schools?
We have three teachers who were called by Granite School District because they had applied in the last 3 years. And they said no.
Teacher shortage.
Yeah. One teacher is a licensed teacher, a second grade teacher, who was called by even a principal.
You're not supposed to do that.
Well, they applied in Granite 2 or 3 years ago, and they're going through that.
They're supposed to go off the new application list. They're
not
supposed
they?
To keep going back. Inside.
They called them. They called them. And the other one was Luisa, a fifth grade teacher. She's not certified, and they would still offer her a contract, even though she's not certified.
Call and say, I'm not supposed to do this, but I have a degree. I know you.
The principal that called the second grade teacher asked me for permission. He called and said, do you have a teacher? We're interested in... can we call her and say, go ahead? I can't tell them no. And so I wouldn't feel good about it because if they really want to go, we want them to go.
That's true.
Yeah, that's the hard thing is you can do what you can to try to keep them, but if they want to go, it's almost like it's better to let them go.
Yeah.
Come through in the classroom.
Yeah, I believe that we need to work with teachers, making them feel like they're part of the process and making them feel like this is their home and their school. And
believing in the program.
And believe in the program.
The teachers that I think stayed and didn't take the money, they believe in the program.
That's right. That's right.
But
these three
teachers, though, I don't know.
Oh, sorry. These three teachers who left and told you the day before they were supposed to sign the contract or come back, or what was it?
The school year.
Three days before they started the school year. Couldn't have they told you before? I don't think they were offered that exact day.
Yeah.
Like, if they were supposed to start on August 10th, they weren't offered August 9th. They were offered before. Shouldn't they have they told you before? I mean, ethically?
Yeah, the school districts are just begging for teachers right now. One of the teachers called me the first day of contract while he was at Park City signing up, signing the documents. They called him the Friday before, but he wasn't able to go to Park City and sign the documents, so he waited. He should have told me Friday, as soon as they called him.
Accepted,
right. But he waited until he was there signing the documents, and then he texted me. Because he called me in the morning and said, my car broke down. I'm not going to be able to come in on time. And so, yeah. And I kind of, I don't want to say more than that, but he.
That one hurt.
Yeah, that one, she came in when I was still.
Yeah, that one hurt.
This is why it hurt, because I changed another teacher from his grade so that this teacher would stay.
We were trying to compensate, yeah.
He's a really good teacher, the one that left. He left, he's really good, and so he came to me and said, I don't want to teach the upper grades, I want to go to the lower grades. And I said, what grade? Third. I said, I will make it work. And I talked to the three teachers in third grade, and I said, one of you please move to second? And they didn't want to, but one hesitantly agreed. So I moved him to second to accommodate this excellent, really an excellent teacher. And then he left me. And she came right when it happened, and I was not a happy camper.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I was not, because I now had to go back to the teacher and say, do you want to stay in second or do you want to go back to third? He went back to third, which means that makes me even feel worse, because that means that he didn't really want to move. He did it just to accommodate this other teacher. So he went back to third.
Yeah.
We are full. We have all the teachers on board. There is one issue, and I communicated with some members of the board already. We may have to make a change. Very, very quickly, and so you probably will hear about it later. So, and it's just trying to fill the void got in the way. So, I'm sure you will feel. And we have excellent candidates that I'm thinking. Where were you 2 weeks ago? They heard. You probably have seen in the news how now people don't have to have a license, which they didn't have to have a license before, but. A lot of people heard about it, and so they went in to teachers and started signing up. And we're talking about one who's a nurse, one is a TA, and has been a TA for 5 years in Alpine School District. We have another one coming in tomorrow who's a real estate agent and has been wanting to be a teacher for many years. She didn't want to go back to school to do it. And so we have some really good candidates if we need. And I'm going to continue to interview people throughout the entire year, because for next year we may have some problems. We have 5 teachers who cannot pass the praxis. Five teachers who cannot pass the praxis. 2 are very close. 1 was a point away for math. It's the only class, the only test that she needs to pass. And the other one was 2 points away for math. That's the only praxis that she needs to pass. So, but 3... I don't think they passed any. They failed all the tests, all the times. They've taken it 4 or 5 times.
Do you think it should be like a good idea, like if you were to do like some kind of training, like the teachers
for the praxis?
Yeah, like tutoring. I know a lot of resources in my already have passed them, so maybe I was thinking.
We can certainly try that. What I've been told is in Salt Lake District they have a group of people that work together. 80% of them still don't make it.
And I know a lot of resources that kind of help me.
Sure.
Let's talk about it. I already shared some of them.
Do you think it's language or content?
Um, I always think it's a combination of both. That's, you know.
How far off are we to be competitive with paying the teachers, like where we can have money to...
Financially?
Yeah, to be able to say, we'll keep them in.
Yeah.
What was the gap on those three again?
Average 11,000. Yeah. Average 113, no 115.
Still years from
12 and 10. I'm sorry.
Are we still years from?
I believe we are.
When 2 years in school max is at 525, right? That's it. That's.
Which four. One?
In 2 years, aren't you at 525, and that's the max?
10 years, I thought.
15 students. I thought it was 525 is what we
maximum
capped
enrollment
at.
Meaning.
Oh, enrollment.
So next year's 500,
enrollment.
Next year's 525.
Correct.
And that does give you some more.
Yeah, but you have to hire new people.
A lot.
Because
you
have more
exactly.
Yeah.
So
you're
not really.
Charter schools typically do not compete with the public schools financially. We have to find missionaries. We can't find only teachers.
It's the same in the private school arena as well. They're just not paid as much, but teachers know that and are okay with it given freedoms they enjoy and the different environments that exist.
Yeah, I think financially we won't be able to match or go above it. I don't know.
Maybe we need to do more cupcake sales.
Chocolate bars.
Something. Yeah,
we sold 19,000 chocolate bars last year again.
Okay.
So anyway, so we need a time, we need a date. We need a date for strategic planning.
Now, is this strategic planning in terms of expanding our...
We just need to establish a vision, and so we can start working towards
it. Is this a board retreat?
Yeah.
We need a date for the board retreat. Okay.
And we did budget some money, $1,200, something like that. And if we need to add a little bit more, that's okay, too, depending on what you want.
Well, do we need to plan on a Saturday and an evening after work? How much time are we talking?
It's up to you. Typically, when I've been on board retreats, typically it's a Friday night and a Saturday morning. The Friday night, it's more social, kind of getting to know everybody. And then the Saturday morning, you go to work.
$1,000.
And, you know, again, it's up to you what you want to do. I've been on different boards where we've gone to Park City. We went to, it's really nice when you get away for the evening. And you just, Bear River, I think we went once from Weber State University. And Park City for a nonprofit agency. Just so that we're away from life for a minute. Mm-hmm. Because if we stay here,
hence the name, retreat, right?
Huh?
Hence the name retreat, right?
That's right. That's right. So the Friday night, it's typically an evening for just socializing, talking, having dinner. Next morning, breakfast, and then go to work for 4 or 5 hours straight. And that's the end. That's the vision that I have, but you guys can... it's a board retreat.
I like the idea of a retreat, but since we're expanding to Ogden, I'd like to... in that community.
You could definitely have it in Ogden. There are several areas where we could have it in Ogden.
Because I know they probably have a vision of where they probably want the school, and I've been to Ogden a number of times. I just went to a conference there, a law conference there, and it looks like it's really changing over. Like
it's coming alive.
Downtown area really vibrant.
Yeah, it would be interesting for all board members from here to see that and kind of know what we're...
Well, my question is, what's our focus of our retreat? Is it to improve the board and to go over our responsibilities and to... Or is it more to focus on our expansion? I mean, I'm not sure where our focus is going to be.
The way I look at it, and then again, you guys, you're the board, so you can add or detract or whatever you want to do, but I think we need to establish a focus, a vision. Mm-hmm. This is where we want to go. And then what else do we need to do in order to get there? The board leadership, do we need a 2-year term? Do we need other board leadership assignments? Or, you know, do we need a historian, for example, that is keeping track of all these activities that we're doing? Because as we grow, we want to have all these documents. I have the pictures, but there's more to the
Well, and we
system.
Need to be establishing committees, and we
correct.
Need to be
correct.
Using our advisory board,
correct.
Which
yeah.
people, Elena, Barbara, Carmen, are all on our advisory board, and
mm-hmm.
we really haven't used them. And so setting yeah. up committees. So personally, I think I would rather keep it a little closer to Salt Lake Valley
yeah,
so
yeah,
that
like,
we can focus on us as a board. And then that can be an agenda item as far
mm-hmm.
as strategic planning.
But aren't we bringing those persons from Ogden onto the board so that we start to get to know them?
I don't know. I
think
don't
that
know.
That would be a good time to bring them on because when you do the application, they will say, who is on the board from Ogden and how long have they been part of the process? And if
okay,
we,
see, I didn't understand
if we
that,
add them,
so.
If we add them in May, they're going to say, whoa. You just add them to for the application, but if we say no, we've been working with them for a year.
And they were part of the strategic
planning
for the vision of
right,
expansion.
Right, then that might look a little better just from state perspective because I can tell you the state is looking at us. I mean, they've got the glass over us, so we need to make sure that we look as good as we can to them.
And other things being equal, not projecting any spectacular improvements or spectacular declines in the coming year, how are we perceived in the state's mind right now?
I can tell you,
candidly,
they like what we're doing, but I'm not sure they're giving the faculty and staff enough credit. I think they're giving me most of the credit because they would not accept the Ogden application without me telling them I'm staying or I'm leaving. And that was unfair. And even Jeff from Red Apple says no one has been asked to do that in the past, to identify a director before. And so...
And is that a function because we're relatively new or because of some our performance the first 2 years out or something else?
I'm not sure why. There are some people there that don't believe in our model, mm-hmm. and at first they were very critical of us, but now they're saying some good things about us.
They also might have a little bit of a bad taste with the other school that started this model and had to resort to not using the model, and then having directors change.
Do you perceive that the scrutiny that we're getting, the careful view that they're casting on us is a function of that model?
Yes.
Yes.
Primarily. Okay. Well, that's
and when they were told to look at the scores from this year, they said, well, yeah, but wait until Alejandra leaves. They'll come
yeah,
down.
Yeah, they're fearful
okay.
that
yeah.
we'll lose our ability to do what we're doing
but it's,
because we won't have
but
the
right
director.
It's the faculty and staff. I mean, I'm not teaching the classes.
And they bought into the model.
Huh?
And they understand and have been trained
they
in the
understand,
model,
they've been trained.
The
I mean, Juan has come twice already to talk with the faculty, and we've had many discussions with the 90-10 model. And the parents that are coming understand the model, because we do orientations with every single child that comes in now.
So what, is it a bit bass-ackwards to recruit new board members from Ogden before we've committed to an expansion plan as a board?
I think we talked about it last time, and we did say that would be our first expansion.
Ogden will be. But
will be.
But I think what he's saying is it a little bit presumptuous to bring them on before anything's been officially accepted?
Are we going to be able to recruit the people we want to recruit if we, as a board, haven't already adopted a plan or a resolution or made a commitment to expand into Ogden?
Well, the people that would want to come on, that's the one that we're opening a school anyway.
So they come on with the understanding that this is why we're interested in
correct.
You, and this is why we're expanding our board, and even though we haven't taken the initial steps yet,
mm-hmm.
So the idea is we get these people on board before our retreat so that they can be part of our strategic discussions, and so that at some future date when we submit an application to expand, we can say that these Ogdenites have been part of our discussion, mm-hmm. part of our team, well before we've prepared our application.
In anticipation.
Okay.
also these persons need to understand what Esperanto's whole policy is, the whole manual that we have developed that is Esperanza, and all of the bylaws and things that we have in there and the objectives. Because they're adopting those as what's going to happen at the school we build in Ogden.
Gotcha. So I think you answered my question simply that we won't be handicapped in our effort to recruit these people because we're still at the initial stages of expansion. Okay. Well, I like the idea then of starting the ball rolling on our expanded Ogdenite board member recruitment, and then scheduling our strategic retreat that at some date thereafter, and probably to accommodate them and to let them know we're serious and about it, to have it up in that neighborhood.
That'll work.
It's important that they receive our manual.
See, yes.
And that they review it before, so that they have questions that we can help them understand how we put it all together. And
okay.
The plan that got developed with this group, and the people who would come on, who would join the board, are people that you've worked with in developing the Ogden School.
That's correct. Right? And they have been interviewed by the state board, the committees at the state office. They're knowledgeable.
And so the plan that got developed was really looking at the Esperanza model.
Exactly. They already seen the model.
So they're up to speed to some degree.
Yeah, one is a psychology professor at Weber State University. One is a former city councilman with Ogden, and one is a parent.
That's wonderful.
Young parent. Yeah.
Well, it seems to me we ought to put on hold the discussion of scheduling the event until we've got some nibbles from these folks and present them, ask them to give us some available dates too, because we really ought to cater to their availability.
One thing I can do is select maybe 3 dates, send them out, and see if those work. On a
so a Friday
Survey
night,
Monkey
Saturday
day.
Morning.
Yeah.
Doodle.
Would
be better.
Okay.
I
will do that.
Beautiful facilities in Ogden.
Yeah.
The ones we were at were beautiful. I imagine that the councilman would know exactly where
he knows.
Our $1,000 would work to have a room to
sure.
work.
Yeah. We'll do that. I'll
and
send you 3 dates.
We have a board subcommittee that would actually plan the agenda and think through.
Yeah.
How that
yeah.
would go.
Great idea.
Yeah.
Great idea.
And with I think I like the idea somebody floated earlier of inviting at least some of our advisory board members
mm-hmm.
to broaden the breadth of the discussion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That would be
so
cool.
We should invite them to this retreat.
Yeah.
Well, it may start getting a little pricey. We want to be careful not to just invite some at the and offend the others that don't get offended. But if they all accept our invitation, we may well go over that budget pretty quick, right?
We can adjust the budget a little bit. It's a one-day event. It's not going to be that pricey.
I would say.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it would be good.
This is more important than going over the budget. I think a bit in that category.
Yeah, it's $1,000. We're going to do $2,000.
Sort of make up the difference.
I'll see what
hey,
I can do.
Yeah, I'm sure that they. I just wanted to share with you some of the handbooks that we handed out to the teachers, the parents, and all the employees. The Office Depot made a mistake and put plastic on several of those, and they didn't charge us for that. It looked kind of nice, so. Yeah.
With that money, now we can go to retreat.
Here are some comments that we found on Facebook. This is, again, people just, we post things, and this is what they come up and add to our post. As you can see, making the world a better place. Qué lindo es estar en un staff así. Algún día será bendecido curso escolar. Apparently, this person wants to work here. The way she says, someday it will be.
Yes.
So I'm thinking that she wants to work here. And there's one more. Feliz comienzo de año escolar. Happy beginning. De las mejores escuelas de Utah. One of the best schools in the state of Utah. Me encanta esta escuela. I love this school. And Dios siga bendiciendo a nuestra escuela. May God continue to bless our school. This is just people that are adding comments to our Facebook page. This is just a calendar of things that are happening there. It's kind of small. But right now, we don't have any big event happening. The first one will be the Fall Festival, and it will be in November. November 2nd, I believe. We don't have that on here yet, do we?
November 2nd what?
Fall Festival?
I think Halloween.
It will be on Halloween, so it will be on the actual day.
Of Día de los Muertos. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's the actual day of the dead.
November. And unfortunately, I won't be here because several people will be going on to a conference. Were you planning on going? You don't want to go?
La Cosecha?
No, this is the International Alliance for Invitational Education. And we did fund to take one of the board members, the board, new board chair. I don't know if you want to go to that one. It's in Kentucky.
I would need to look at my calendar, probably.
Okay. We'll let you know.
What city in Kentucky?
What city?
Louisville?
No, it's not Louisville, Kentucky. Where do they do the horse racing?
Lexington,
Kentucky.
Is it Lexington?
It is Lexington.
You have family there?
I do. I have two grandchildren.
Take him. Steve!
If you want to come, it's just to receive the award, and then you can go see your kids. They will give us an award for the for our...
I think that would necessitate an extension of Steve's service on the board.
Every teacher got a book like this. Every faculty member, not just teachers, all the TAs, custodians, secretaries. This is Invitational Education in a smaller book, because the other one was kind of big. They let us have it very inexpensively. I think it was like $5.50 or $6 each. Mm. So,
what's the award?
It is, we're one of the top schools using Invitational Education. There's two levels, we're the second one. They actually wanted to give us the first one, but we hadn't seen the scores. And they've asked me to serve on a regional committee to address Invitational Education improvement. So
I got to say that that's one of the original nuggets of the vision.
Mm-hmm.
And to receive this award, it's like, congratulations.
Well, I think the faculty are buying into it. We do a training every year. And so probably they get a little tired of it. And we gave them the big book first, and then this one came out. So I think this one is a little more condensed. But I think faculty and staff are buying into it. They're really liking the...
Do we have that on the website, that we are receiving this award?
Yeah, I was going to say, how about market that?
We will. They gave us a press release, too. They created a press release that we can send out, especially when the picture, we come back with a picture that we received it. One of the things they've asked us to do is to nominate another school in the state to receive information about Invitational Education. I nominated DIA. And I talked to Angela to see if she wants to be part of the organization. So,
very
good. So that is my report.
Very good.
Okay, very good. Parent report.
Okay. We haven't had a big meeting yet. We have our first meeting on this next Monday in the morning. We were at back to school with a table. We were trying to recruit people. So we had different sign-ups for like different activities that they could sign up to help with, like teacher appreciation, teacher breakfasts and lunches, help with the Día de los Muertos. Yeah, we were trying to get more volunteers, but we also sold sweatshirts, and so we shouldn't have done that, because we sold $1,600 in sweatshirts that night, but that was where the concentration went. We got hardly any sign-ups for help. So, this is our dilemma. Karina, I, and Don are getting burned out quickly, and we need recruits. That's why I was saying those Facebooks. Come on over, ladies. I'm glad you left the school. Join PTO.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know if you guys have suggestions.
Well, I can tell you that there's the people we have here.
We need to train people to take over, too.
I know.
There's.
But here's our problem.
We have 3 years left at this school.
Yeah, we have a real challenge.
Dawn has a long time. She just had
I know, she's got a baby. Our challenge is that a lot of the parents work too much. Our kids are coming in at 6:30, 7 o'clock. I've sent several emails.
Yeah, I saw those.
Did you see them?
Uh-huh.
Because I come in and the parents are telling me that I've got to go to work at 7. That's yeah. my schedule. But we can't accept responsibility to supervise these kids that early.
Are we doing daycare again this year? Or
in the morning time?
Or are we doing it in the afternoon
until 5:30. But several parents said, why don't you do daycare? It's just hard for people to come in at 6:30 or 7 o'clock in the morning to take care of kids. And at 7:30, we had 15 kids waiting out there. And they're not supposed to come until 7:45. And I had to go and open the door and talk to the kids because they were chasing each other and tripping each other. And it's just, I come early to get some things done, and so I don't want to be out there chasing kids. So,
and are the children, are the doors open at 7:30?
No, they open at 7:30, yes. They open at 7:30, but they're not supposed to come in until 7:45. We have a staff that comes in at 7:30 and is here to supervise some of those kids that have to be dropped off early, but they keep coming earlier and earlier. And at 7:20, we had a couple of kids outside, and that's just too early. So that's why they're not volunteering, because they're working. And we have 60 kids in the after-school program, 60. We don't have enough staff. We're looking for staff to care for these kids, because we increased the fee to $70 per child per month from 50. And we thought we would have less. No, we have more. We have 60 kids. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't.
The need is just the parents are working and they have 4 or 5 kids and they need. One parent wanted us to take a child that is too young for school because her babysitter is not working out, and she's like, can my babysitter bring the child to the school at 3:30? And said, no, we only staff for kids that are in kindergarten or older.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's why you're not getting them.
Well, that's part of it, but we have more parents than that group. Yeah. There's a lot of parents out there that could help.
We do need to grow the numbers.
Yeah, we have to get more.
That is something that we could talk at this retreat.
Yeah, what can we do?
Yeah. Because think of, the core of us is 3.
Yeah, and it's been the same 3 from the beginning.
Who's the official parent community outreach person? Or have we not gotten that?
I don't think
from the board?
Or it was going to be Flavia, but then she became
And then it was going to be Carmen.
It was going to be Carmen, yeah.
Isn't it Julia doing the community outreach?
She's doing some of it, but, you know, does supervise the after-school program.
Okay. Yeah, she's swamped.
Yeah.
She's a
full player. Yeah, that is just a lot.
So we're having a meeting on Monday. Hopefully we'll get people there, and we'll let them know that we really need a lot of
support.
Support, because otherwise we're going to do some of the main things, but we just can't do it all. So hopefully our cry will be heard.
And I can send a message to the parents if you want me to.
Yeah, maybe if it comes from you and invited from the principal, you know.
Yeah.
We'll just have to see how the year goes.
You have a lot of communication with teachers, because maybe teachers could nominate parents. Because teachers know their parents usually. Well, now we're at the beginning of the school year, but they probably know from last year.
Weeks, yeah.
And they could say, this could be...
Yeah.
And then you or a blogger can call them and invite them, something.
Yeah. We have us 3 and then Debbie and Keila.
And Sadie.
Yeah. So,
if all else fails, we'll just have to raise the salary.
Yeah, we need to pay.
We'll give you 100% increase.
The only one that was a paid employee last year, according to the yearbook.
Yeah. We told them we're going to increase their pay by 100%.
Yeah. So we just need to get more volunteers, more. I mean, we've done some great things, but.
Our PA system is working. It's functional.
Oh, good.
And so
we raised over $20,000 last year.
Yeah.
Really?
The majority of us just full-time, 3 of us.
Yeah.
That was a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And the book fair raised money for books, which is separate.
Fair. And the librarian helps us a lot with the book fair.
Yeah.
So we're grateful for that help. But
what about thinking outside the box and grandparents?
We have some grandparents that are helping us with the community council.
But you wonder if maybe...
I know a grandparent that has a child and granddaughter that comes.
That's an interesting idea.
And you know, they do that in California.
I'm pointing at her, she's not looking at me.
He's not in this school anymore,
he
though.
He left?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, just she didn't like the drive out here. She lives in South Jordan.
Oh, yeah.
And he came for kindergarten, and that was... He's out at the Montessori Charter School in South Jordan now.
Yeah.
But sometimes they have more time where they're more active. They're still more active. They want to be more active.
Yeah.
In California, they're using a lot as hall monitors because the kids seem to be more respectful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the grandparent program.
Yeah. And that's maybe send a message out and see if we can get some recruits.
I think parental involvement is a great leadership position for a teacher. Find out what's going on nationwide. Find out what other schools are doing.
Yeah.
Make that a leadership position.
Mm-hmm. That's one of the...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We will put that on the list.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's our biggest concern right now. We're selling T-shirts and sweatshirts and bags and water bottles. We make about $4 on each one, so...
We're buying the teachers some shirts. Did you get the list?
No, John probably has it.
Okay. We're buying the teachers a shirt with the collar and the name. The eagle.
Right. The eagle, yeah. So those have been really popular.
Yeah.
Selling
well, they sold $1,600 in one day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and then one day, and then we sold some every day. Through Paula.
Yeah.
Paula takes a lot of orders for us.
Oh, wow.
Because she asked us if we were going to be here to take orders all day. My pay.
We'd have to raise your pay another 100%.
Yeah.
But my pay's going to stay here all day and take orders.
Are all those sales, do they transpire here on the premises or online?
Yeah. So that's our big thing, and our biggest event will be Day of the Dead.
On November 2nd.
So.
Okay, is there anything else? Okay. I would like to go ahead and adjourn the meeting and pull out the computers, and let's get the board. Oh, sorry.
Do we need to set our date for the retreat, or not yet, or?
From some of the candidates, and we were going to wait. I think to get the feedback from some of the Ogden candidates when they're available.
You're going to
get right. I'm going to send you three dates on a doodle.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Cody, can you put that on the minute just so that I don't forget? Cody?
September 20th, actually. We need to have the next board meeting.
September 20th.
20th, not 13th. That's only the second.
Yeah.
Tuesday. It is the third. But we're doing it. Why is it we need to have it the 20th then?
Because isn't always the third Tuesday of the month.
So that's what I'm saying. Isn't the 13th only the second?
Right.
So we'll do it on the 20th.
So it's the 20th, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
should be the
20th. It's got
to be
bigger than the 14th.
Yeah. Could be the 15th.
It has to be at least the 15th to be the 3rd.
So from this meeting forward, from here on, we've got new officers, right?
Right.
A new board chair for sure.
And so that I'm clear, I will be sending any concerns to Juan first.
Okay.
Right? Or do... Is that okay?
You can email
Marty and you.
Because he's the vice chair.
And I usually include him if it has to do with money, because he knows about money.
Sure.
If it's money, or I usually include Steve. So the three of you, I'll send you an email with any concerns. You don't have to read my emails anymore.
I don't have to read it.
And if I just want to thank Janet for...
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, I will direct the quizzes. I've taken all four. I've read all of the instruction that goes with each slide. But we will all just go directly to the quiz. I'm not going to just give the answer. I want everybody to read the item. We'll discuss it. I will direct you to the correct answer as long as we've all understand.
Thank you all. We'll see you next month.
Your own one.
Thanks.
See you later. Good to see you again. Congratulations. Good to see you as always. Thanks, Phil.
I might have to.
It's a little turn. No, you're good. All right. See ya.
Yeah, and I will do that.
Janet?
Okay.
Yes.
Steve is our overachiever. He went in it this morning, so he's done. We'll excuse him.
Steve, come sit by me.
Thank you. That's a good idea.
The only thing I don't know is if they mix them up, because I have all,
oh, you have the
all the answers.
Out of all the audio recorder.
Actually, out of all the questions on the four tests, I missed three, and. So I won't let you miss any. Unless they put up different...
Are you on there now? Are you on the site?
No,
it says
not.
To enter our email.
My guess.
Enter your email. That's what it's saying. I don't know.
That's student. Student at Esperanza.
Do I write student?
Yeah, just the word student.
Where is that?
How did you get to that?
It says you're browsing as a guest.
And then
right,
password?
That's okay.
Student again?
Now with an S. Students. Yeah.
All lowercase.
Yes.
All lowercase, right?
Yes.
Where am I connecting?
Go to
UCAT. Is it UCAT?
UCAP, isn't it?
That's what I thought, but I'm
okay.
Not.
Okay,
that's at schools.utah.gov.
You have to find Esperanza right there at the top.
UCAP.schools.utah.gov.
Yuka. Again, Mari?
Close.
By the way, it's HTTPS.
Automatic connected. Says all connected.
What is the website again, sorry?
UCAP.
UCAP.com?
Schools.utah.
UCAP.schools.
.gov.
Okay.
HTTP.
UCAP.schools.gov?
Schools.utah.gov.
Oh, Utah.gov.
Oh, that's
cool.
I might have to. Yeah, they sent you an email a while back. And you were supposed to go in and say, I forgot the password, and set the password. And then,
now it gives you, if you don't know your password now, it gives you an option to get a new one.
Okay.
And it tells you to plug your username in.
Right.
And it says it will send you instructions for resetting the password, but it didn't send me an email with instructions.
Yeah, it didn't me either. That's why he had
okay.
To
let me then go to my office and send you all a new sign. You got in?
What's the address I'm going to for the...
Let me send you an email because it gives you the link to the web...
Yeah.
Right? Let me
do
that from the
office.
I sent
you all an email that had that link too.
Oh, did you see that? I am going to have to reset everybody except for Janet, Steve.
This link, what are you going to get that Janet didn't send to us?
Well, I think you should have it. And when you get to that link, then if you say sign in with your email address and then create a new password.
So it says login.
Right, that's it.
Not your email address, but that's your username.
Right, that's it.
Yeah, and then you go here, forgot your password,
right.
And it says it'll send you a new one.
And
it has no idea what my email is, though.
I put it in.
Yeah.
You did put it in?
Yeah, we
put
that
in.
Last, a few times ago.
Yeah.
So even so,
if you go to your email, there's nothing there?
No.
That's what it did to mine.
Okay. So everybody except for yours, Janet's and Steve's. I'm gonna reset everybody's.
Okay.
I need to.
You said.
I know.
There's
I got
nothing
it
there.
Already.
Oh, you did?
I don't know my username.
Your username is first name dot last name.
Oh, okay. What's that name?
Your first name,
okay.
Dot, last name.
And then passport? That's a journey to
that's it.
I forgot your passport.
And then your password, then you look, yeah. You send that for, to reset your password? Yes. Yes.
Coding.
Okay, good.
Somehow I reset it yesterday.
I'm going to watch his test.
You taking the test now?
No, I'm waiting for him.
You went for Janet, aren't you?
Yes.
Where am I going?
I read it.
Okay, so I'm going to the site. When I was here the other day.
You are on the site.
But how do you get to the test?
At the top, go to the very top. Yeah. Now go into this little thing right there. Right there. And then training library. Yeah, but they're all got to get it in.
Yeah.
You're not in?
No.
Juan Punto Freire. That's it?
Yeah, I clicked on forgot password, but I'm not getting the email with my new password yet.
Okay, I'll reset you. Let me make sure everybody. You're in? You're in? Are you in? You're not in, right?
No.
Okay, let me go to reset you and Juan. Huh? You're going to do it. Did you get in?
I received it in my other email.
Okay, so you're good. So, Marty, you're the only one.
Yeah, it's not sending an email.
It's not?
So let me back up a little bit. When it gives me this command, send instructions.
Yeah.
Do I use my username there?
Right.
Not me, my.
No.
Yeah. I tried Marty Banks and Martin Banks. Neither sends me an instruction.
Neither one sends you the instructions. Okay, I'm going to reset you. You're the only one, right? No one else?
It's supposed to be resending. Debbie needs it.
Debbie needs it? Okay, that's it? Okay, I'm going to send Debbie's and Martin's.